You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
In this episode of Barn Stories, the delivery of a feisty mare to an important family goes awry, but a young farmhand is rewarded with a great story of a debt unpaid.
Welcome to the Barn Stories podcast. I'm Lori Prinz, editor of Equus Magazine.
And I'm managing editor Christine Barakat.
This podcast features our favorite essays and articles published in Equus over the past 40 years. Although Equus is known for articles on horse care and veterinary research, our editorial mission has always been guided by the bond that exists between horses and people. And each issue has featured a real-life story that celebrates how horses enrich our lives and touch our hearts.
We've searched our archives, chosen the stories that resonated with our readers, and given them new life in this audio format. Longtime subscribers may recognize some of their favorite pieces. And if you're new to the Equus community, these stories will confirm that no matter what sort of saddle you sit in, a deep emotional connection to horses is something we all share.
We're excited to present the first ever best of episode of Barn Stories. Over the past 5 years, we've amassed a catalog of more than 85 essays. They're all entertaining, but some are so good they're worth revisiting. This particular essay is one of my favorites. It appeared in our print pages more than two decades ago, and it was one of the first stories we featured on this podcast. It's from another era, but the characters, both human and equine, are timeless.
Yes, the story takes place in the summer of 1930, which was almost 100 years ago. A lot has changed since then, for sure, but when I was listening to the story again, I was struck by how much of it could still happen today. Horses are still unpredictable, the resulting situations can still be extremely awkward, and millionaires still don't always want to pay their bills. I suspect in another 100 years, those things will still be true.
With that in mind, let's listen to The Rockefellers Owe Me $2, written by Thomas Scammon and read by Taylor Autumn.
I was 14 years old and living on Mount Desert Island, off the coast of Maine, when I first encountered the Rockefellers. As everyone knows, that large island has long been the summer home for hundreds of millionaires, always referred to as rusticators by the native residents. From an early age, we were taught that rusticators were an odd lot, and if they sometimes ask foolish questions, we must always be polite and patient with them. In the summer of 1930, I was working on Haman Roddick's farm, located near the end of Eagle Lake and not far from a network of carriage roads owned and maintained by the Rockefeller family. These roads, open to the public, were for horses only. One morning, Haman and I went down to New Mills Meadow to cut a load of green hay for the livestock on his farm. After the hay was cut and loaded, Haman took the rake home and left me with the workhorses and the wagon load of hay. Now, Haman set off on a paved road that led up to a steep hill, but I decided on a different route that would be easier for the horses. This was the Rockefeller Road, which was freshly graveled and raked. I was unconcerned that the iron wheels of the heavily loaded wagon would dig deep into the gravel, or that the shoes of Haman's freshly shod horses would make pronounced holes at every step. In fact, it pleased me to look behind me and see the straight lines made by the wheels and the perfect spacing of the horses' hooves. On that beautiful, cloudless day, I was happy as a lark and looking forward to Haman's bountiful supper table after a day in the fields. Suddenly, I heard a voice shouting angrily at me. Turning, I saw a man and a boy in a buggy. A quick look at the boy's clothing told me that he was a rusticator. Thinking that the shouting man wanted me to get out of the center of the road, I pulled the team to the side to allow the buggy to pass. As it came alongside, though, I realized the driver was incensed by my messing up the smoothly raked road. It was then that I recognized him as the foreman for the Rockefeller estate. Fortunately, I was far out of his reach when he started brandishing his buggy whip. But since one good turn deserves another, I reached for a long-handled pitchfork stuck in a load of hay. Perhaps deciding that discretion was called for, the foreman drove on, but not before promising to take this matter up with a higher authority. That is, my employer. This threat bothered me not at all, For Haman cared no more about the Rockefeller's gravel than he did about a cow path. The rest of the trip home was uneventful, but this incident was to cost me $2. At this time, Haman was renting part of his barn to a man named Mr. James, who ran a riding school for the rusticators and also bought and sold horses.
For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Horse Feed and Absorbing to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities, exclusive experiences, and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
When I had a bit of free time, I sometimes worked for Mr. James. The very next morning, after my encounter with the foreman, Mr. James had a job for me. Having just sold a big, dappled gray mare named Sparkles to the Rockefellers, Mr. James asked me to deliver her to the family stables. A groom would be there to receive the horse and pay me $2 for my work. Mr. James will retrieve me and the saddle and bridle with his car. As I mounted Sparkles, I was cautioned not to get the mare overheated, and to this I readily agreed. But Sparkles had stood in her stall for 3 days, and no one had given thought to cut down on the heavy ration of oats regularly given to Mr. James's working horses. Always a high-spirited animal, the mare was now so full of energy that she wanted to burn some up. In short, she wanted to run, flat out, and the snaffle bit in her mouth was hardly the best thing to restrain her. As we approached the carriage road, only a short distance from the barn, the mare became almost uncontrollable. Then she began jigging and going sideways down the road. When we almost went into a ditch, I was so fearful, lest she hurt herself, that I gave some slack to the reins, in the hope that she would straighten it out. That she did, but bolting, she took off at a dead run. I had totally lost control. Sparkles galloped nearly the length of Eagle Lake before I could slow her to a trot, and we were approaching Jordan Pond before I could even bring her to a walk. A dapple gray when we started, she was now white with foam. I dismounted at the top of a grade and tried to cool her off by rubbing her down with grass and leaves. When she grew calmer, I decided to go on to the Rockefeller stables. But my hopes were short-lived, for Sparkles still wanted to run, and running, she started to sweat again. Arriving at the stables, I expected to find a groom to receive the mare and provide me my hard-earned $2. What I found instead was the whole Rockefeller clan and their friends assembled. Worse still, there was the foreman I had encountered the day before. Seeing me again and noting Sparkle's lathery condition, he started toward me in an angry, threatening way. I quickly dismounted, stripped off the bridle and saddle, and put them and myself into Mr. James's waiting station wagon. Impatient to be off, Mr. James lost no time in getting started, and we rode back to the farm in total silence. It comforted me little to suppose that when Haman got the chance, he would go and collect that $2 for me. He never did, nor did I. I moved on to bigger things, the Depression, World War II, and earning a living. Like most Maine men, I have seen good days and bad. But I have always taken pleasure in a fact not enjoyed by many a man. The Rockefellers owe me $2.
Thanks for listening to Barn Stories. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have a favorite article or essay from the Equus Archives that you'd like us to feature in a future podcast, let us know. You can reach us at equusbarnstories, all one word, @gmail.com.
Did you enjoy this episode of Barn Stories? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Thanks for listening.
The Barn Stories podcast is a production of the Equine Podcast Network, an entity of the Equine Network.